Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Boogie, strong down the right side, fumbles it. Payne's trying to hold his ground.
Man.
Boogie knocks him over. Got to be an offensive foul. Easy call. Oh, Boogie just barking at Aaron Baines. Here comes a technical. Now Boogie shoves Tatum, shoved Aaron Baines. Boogie's night is definitely going to be over here. I'll tell you what, you mess with Aaron Baines, it might not just be your night that's over.
But Cousins, you know, felt at that time, and Rozier is still barking right now at him. As Rozier went over to him, and Boogie Cousins just swinging on whoever was there. You could tell it was Baines stayed right there. You could see the elbow went right into the, knocked him down.
This is turning into a dream night for the Celtics. I mean, what else could you want but a situation where they have to stand up for each other even more?
So Sean Grandy last night with Max on the call.
Sure, it wasn't Jack Edwards?
And
you tangle with Aaron Baines.
You might die.
What exactly was he indicating
there? He said,
I'll tell you what, you mess with Aaron Baines, it might not just be your night that's over.
Your life would be over.
Are we talking about life or death?
Yeah. Aaron Baines would kill him.
Talking about an injury that could last a couple of weeks or
season ender?
Are we talking about the ultimate price?
End of life.
Yeah, rip your face off.
Aaron Baines may kill you.
So when I went to the Rough and Rowdy their Super Bowl week, I'd like to see DeMarcus Cousins and Aaron Baines in the ring.
I'll take Baines.
Oh, man.
I'll take Baines.
I'll take Draymond Green.
779-0985. You always take the craziest guy there.
I didn't know he played DB at Michigan State.
Draymond Green?
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
I didn't know that either.
6'8 defensive back? That doesn't sound right, so.
Okay, I was watching the combine, and maybe I fell half asleep when they were doing the drills, and I swear to God, they said, here's Draymond Green.
Maybe he had carrot poisoning. Eating on the couch.
Imagine a 6'8 corner.
Maybe he was out of body.
Draymond Green once played football in a Michigan State spring game.
Thank you.
And he struggled mightily.
But they had tape. They were running. I knew I saw it at the combine over the weekend.
2011.
Yeah.
He played tight end in a spring game.
Okay. All
right. So
tight end makes sense.
Yeah.
All right.
Jason's in Nashua today. What's up, Jason?
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
I'm intrigued the positive Celtics talk finally. Every day it's always dark and gloomy. I kind of like that.
We react to them. They deserved it.
Well, because I know at 2 o'clock all we're going to hear about is Kyrie's bad comments or whatever. But either way, I enjoy the positiveness, guys. Thank you. I want to thank Booker Cousins for waking up Stevie Carey. That was kind of funny, though. It reminded me of, the Mike Tyson's punch-out game with Stevie Carey trying to, go up against Booker Cousins. You know what I mean? Maybe it woke him up. Who knows? I want to thank...
Like Don Cornelius, right?
Yeah.
Who's the one fighter?
I'll tell you what, though. That happened so late in the game, Jason. That wasn't the thing. Let's not confuse the two things. It did bring them together, but that is not the thing that woke them up. That was late in the game. That was not the thing that led them on the path of them playing as well as they did.
They were already up big, yeah.
Yeah. Dan is in Salem. Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. What's going on, Zell?
What's up?
So a couple things real quick, guys. I think, one, it was an exciting night for the Celtics, but I think we're getting too into it, too celebratory right now. I think, obviously they get big on these games. They play well. And then,
you got to give them credit for responding, man. You got to give them credit for responding. We crushed them for 2 days,
And absolutely.
And deservedly so.
The second thing, My second thing is, Zoe, you can attest to this. I think, you know, there's been a lot of coaches in the NFL and whatnot that, you know, a lot of teams will rally around a coach that they don't like. Is there an opportunity here for the team, in a way, because Kyrie's insulting them pretty much on a daily basis, that this team can kind of get together and say, you know what, screw you, Kyrie. We're going to play. We have to play with you, but we got to rally around them some way.
I think you just want to win personally. Yeah, beyond all that. Yeah, you got pride. The hell, you're in the damn league. Don't you want to build on what you did last year? Don't you want to take it further? That's what you play for. You play for your coach. Your coach helps motivate you. But I like to think you got the right type of players that just want to go out and play every night. Kyrie at least talks about that. Like, I want to. He keeps saying high level, an elite high level. I want to play basketball, and I want to play it at an extremely high level. I want them all to think that. You got to deal with Kyrie. You got to deal with the comments.
Chris is in Hartford. Hey, Chris.
Hey, morning, fellas. Hey, just real quick on the Whalers. You know, a lot of folks don't know that the Whalers were in the World Hockey League. They actually resided in Boston. And in 74, they moved to Hartford. So when they get together, that's a really special night. And Zoe made a comment the Hartford Whalers ever come.
There's nothing special about the Carolina Hurricanes wearing that uniform.
That's a sweet uniform.
It's a great uniform, but it is not at all historic. It is not at all anything to do with the Boston Whalers or the Hartford Whalers.
There's no history there.
No, there's no history there.
Because the New England Whalers came from Boston.
So what?
They don't exist anymore.
They don't exist. Hartford Whalers don't exist anymore.
When you understand that they actually resided, just like the Boston Braves and the Boston Red Sox back in the early 1900s, they both lived.
And there is nothing historic about the Atlanta Braves playing the Red Sox in 2019.
Yes, there was, because even in the World Series in 1912, the Braves had a bigger ballpark. The Red Sox actually played there for their World Series games. Do you know that?
What does that have to do with it, though? What does that have to do with 2018 or 2019 Red Sox Braves? Nothing. Nothing at all.
It does, because of the lineage. Sports is history.
Yeah.
And if you have to understand sports, you have to understand history.
Once the team leaves and goes as far as being from Hartford or originally from Boston to Carolina, and a couple of decades pass, and then you just throw the uniform on, that's not history.
You know what it'd be like? It'd be like the Baltimore Ravens playing a road game in Cleveland.
That's not a historic moment.
It'd be like the Baltimore Ravens playing a road game in Cleveland and wearing the white Cleveland away jersey, because we used to be the Cleveland Browns. We're just going to wear it for history.
In fact, I think the Carolina Hurricanes wearing those uniforms is so fraudulent.
I think it's cool.
It's so fraudulent that they put those uniforms on. They shouldn't be allowed to wear the uniforms. And I'm dead serious. I love seeing the uniform because of the history.
No, I know what you're
saying. Hate that they're allowed to wear them.
Okay, but Zoe said 2 days ago, could Hartford, you asked him a question, could Hartford go ahead and have a franchise?
I believe they could.
And just really what happened was in 94, Peter Comoros came in, said he was going to be here for 4 years. And Roland and the Patriots, Roland really wanted the NFL here. The season ticket holders here in Connecticut and Hartford actually got the money to keep him here. He moved the goalposts and said he wanted $45 million for losses. So the people here really do love hockey, and they support their team.
I agree. That's why I think they should have a team. I think Hartford could support a team again. And if they get a team again, they should be able to use the name. The same way the Cleveland Browns moved to Baltimore, and Cleveland as a city was able to keep the name and the likeness of the team, the logos, everything.
So I think they could absolutely do that. Now let's get to the Celtics, okay? I need to talk about defense. I need to talk about, because that's why they won. Because Kyrie actually played defense. Yeah, Clay was out. Cousins isn't the same. We understand that. But the intensity on defense, it starts with defense off of Irving. If they do that, the talent then on the fast break, the rebound, and they're in great positions, they're going to be just fine. It comes to the dedication of him wanting to move his feet. How many charges do we see last night? Baines, Smart got it going. And guess who also had a charge and pumped up? Kyrie. It's about defense in Boston. It's always been about defense. So if we want to win a championship, it's up to you guys also to harp about defense. Have a great day, guys.
Okay. I think we have. I think we have done that.
It's good to hear Beetle passionate about a uniform. It's the Zoe.
Well, Beetle's been pumping the old Pats uniform. He's passionate about that one.
But trying.
Yep.
You know what the Hurricanes would be much better served by? You want to serve the history of the game. You want to support hockey. You want to do something that's good for the sport. Get people in the arena
we're talking about it.
Where the Carolina Hurricanes play to wear Hurricanes jerseys. Go to a Carolina Hurricanes game. Go down there when the Red Wings are playing. Take a look around the stadium, as my brother-in-law has done a number of occasions. Way more Red Wings jerseys in the arena where the Carolina Hurricanes play than the Carolina Hurricanes have jerseys for their own home fan base. Instead of out there playing around wearing Hartford Whalers jerseys, which, yes, according to the lineage, and if you go back on Ancestry.com, you can very easily see the connection there. It's got nothing to do with that team. Nothing. Nothing to do with them in 2019. It doesn't. And it does them a disservice when they should be doing everything they can to build their own fan base there and get their own people in their own city to support that team. They're out there wearing Hartford Whalers jerseys. Guys, you're already climbing an uphill battle with that team.
Do you know where Carolina ranks? Do you know where Carolina ranks in terms of percentage, right? Not based on volume of tickets sold, but percentage of the building that they fill, where they rank in the NHL right now? Dead last.
Go down.
They have the worst attendance in the NHL.
Next time the Bruins are playing down there, pay attention to the crowd shots. See how many Bruins jerseys and how many Bruins sweaters you see in the stands as opposed to Hurricanes. It's embarrassing.
And in terms of number of fans through the gate every game, they rank 28th in the NHL. So I would say get more people to your games.
As opposed to messing around. The Hartford Whalers stuff last night looked great. It's one of the best uniforms in sports. You see that out there?
Pretty.
Beautiful. Right.
Which is why it should remain with Hartford.
Yeah. Does nothing.
You think Hartford could put 13,000 a night in the building for the home games?
Probably. Yeah.
Does nothing, but it does nothing for hockey to do that last night. Nothing. It doesn't help the sport today. Nope. And it certainly doesn't help the Carolina Hurricanes.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Well, you could clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the sports up.
Charlotte Cassidy, right. Where you been? What you been doing? Good morning football to you.
Good morning football. Hello, how do you do? Good morning football. The sun is shining for you. Good morning football. Hey now, what do you say? Straight and tall. Wow. And there he is, my pigskin pal.
Good morning, football.
Good morning, football. Say it once again. Good morning, football.
My one and only friend.
That show has gone on to be a big hit.
Good Where the hell is football. That gone? Damn it. Yeah, they got rid of that idiot.
A stupid name, but man, they've gone on to have great success.
Good morning,
they
football.
They dropped the corny.
Yeah, they did.
Just a normal show now.
Well, yeah. Hello to you. Good morning, football to you.
It's just a morning show where they talk about football.
Yeah, well, we don't have to say good morning football to everybody anymore.
Good morning, football. Do you remember that?
Yeah, good morning, football.
Oh, my
football.
God, they did say the good
beginning.
Morning, football.
That's what they would say in the beginning.
Charlotte Cassidy, right. Where you been? What you been doing? Good morning, football to you.
Oh, my Jesus.
God. Oh, my God. Jesus.
They dropped all that stupidity. And you know what? They really emphasize the GMFB now. Not so much the good morning.
That's football. Right, because, you know, the soul of it is still there. It's all good because it's we're talking about football, but it's in the morning time. It's in the AM, anti-meridian. Good morning football. You see how it all worked there, Beetle? Charlie Casserly here.
Well, here's
Take the floor, Red.
Here's Charlie Casserly.
Good morning football to you.
Not on Good Morning Football,
Stop
but
it.
On NFL Network yesterday afternoon. Talking about Kyler Murray, big, hot quarterback prospect that is
good afternoon, football.
Coming into the league and could likely could end up being the number one pick, according to reports. But here you go.
No, it didn't work out, Charlie, but what did you hear about everything else that Kyler Murray did when he was in Indianapolis?
Well, you better hope Kingsbury takes him number one, because this was not good. This was the worst comments I ever got on a high-rated quarterback.
Really?
And I've been doing this a long time. I'm probably doing it longer than you're alive anyway.
You have to. That's why I said, really?
Whippersnapper? Yes. Shut up. I can't help it. It's the worst report I ever got.
Play it again.
I'm probably doing it longer than you're alive anyway.
You yes, have. That's why I said, leadership. Really?
Yes, leadership, not good. Okay, study habits, not good. The board work, below not good, not good at all in any of those areas, see, and raising major concerns about what this guy's going to do. Now, people will say, well, we're going to compare him to Mahomes. We're going to run an offense like Mahomes. We're going to run an offense like Baker Mayfield. It is possible, but those guys are much different. I mean, those guys, you never question about their ability on the board. You never question their leadership ability, their work habits. They were outstanding in those areas. This guy's not outstanding in those areas. It showed up in the interview.
Okay, I got a problem with this right away. Of the three things he said, leadership, study habits, and board work, there's only one thing you could find out in a three-hour meeting. Put them on a whiteboard. Put the board work up. Give me cover two or give me cover six. Give me bump and run. Give me robber coverage. Draw me up a 3-4. Draw me up a 4-3. Give me nickel. Give me dime. Let's go big nickel. Give me three tight end set. What are you going to do? Give me a pass play out of a three tight end set and short yardage. Like, that's board work. And if the kid could respond, this is what we do with Gruden, right? You go to Gruden school, get you up there on the board. Uh-huh. Look at this guy coming at you. He's a blitzer. I got noodles flying everywhere. What are you going to do? And the kid got an answer. You got quick answers. How can you tell in a 2 or 3 hour meeting what kind of study habits this kid has? You're talking to him. You're not talking to people around him or his coach. His coach isn't doing the interviews. What the hell are you going to throw that out there for? Now, if he was bad on the board, maybe somebody told him that or multiple teams did. Let's go out there and say, yeah, you better take him number one or he's going to drop like a pumpkin off a building. You know, you take board work out of a meeting. That's it. You can't say the kid has no character. Maybe he's quiet. He might be a great leader. His football team won. They're doing something right. Lincoln Riley's a pretty damn good coach. He's doing something right with him.
Well, in addition to maybe board work being the only thing you can discern from a three-hour meeting, I would also say that Charlie Casserly wasn't in any of these meetings. And how many guys did he actually talk to? I mean, how many guys who sat and interviewed with him did he actually speak with afterward and get these comments about?
Was it at St. Elmo's talking to some friend of a GM that told him this, and it's just by word of mouth?
Or was it not even from one of the guys who was in the room?
Right.
Was it third-hand information by the time Casserly is relaying it from how many interviews? One? Two? I find it hard to believe that there would be a consensus that Kyler Murray is not cut out for this in terms of leadership, study habits, board work, and the only guy who knew about it and said anything about it was Charlie Casserly. There's a lot of guys who are dialed in and have a lot of good connections and get a lot of information, either to get real information out there or even misinformation out there if someone's trying to get it out there in a way to try and get him available to you. But he's the only one who said it?
You're going to go to network flag station of the network, NFL Network. Are you going to crush this kid 2 months before the draft? I don't think it's very fair. And like Bill Belichick said, when's the last time Charlie Casserly got anything right? Seriously.
That is something that he has said.
Bill just can't stand weather people and Charlie Casserly. That's it.
Which I don't put any stock into because that they obviously have some sort of personal issue.
No, it's when he was with Redskins and Bills at the Giants.
Yeah, there's some sort of...
Yeah, it's like Bill Pullian.
They've got an issue with each other, so you know that doesn't mean that because Bill Belichick said he's not right about things that he's never been right.
Well, I think Charlie called him a liar and a cheater, and that went up Bill's ass sideways. This is back when all the Spygate stuff was coming out.
Both of those things might be true. they might be.
But you see what I'm saying? I mean, and if you're Arizona, you are on sell job, like over the top. We're taking him. We love the kid. Like you got to put it out there that you're taking him to get people to bite on the number one pick for a trade. So
you're right. The leadership part. How do you know that? How do you know that sitting down with a kid for an interview? He conducted 10 of these interviews at the combine, by the way.
Maybe he doesn't even know who he's probably talking to. This guy, okay, I got to go. Another one. You're probably dead tired after 7, you know? Jim said something about the Super Bowl. Jim, what'd you say about Kyler Murray was on Radio Row going bouncing from station to station?
He had some weird media stuff going on that day. Yeah. He wasn't received well on Radio Row. Okay.
Who's that?
He did that short period at Kyler Murray.
Oh, yeah. He also went on Dan Patrick and it was bad.
Yeah, the one a lot of people point to.
He had a really bad interview on Dan Patrick that did not go well.
Trey Flowers, a good interview?
I don't know.
Not really good soundbite. Like he's not a good interview to have in.
I'm sorry, is Trey Flowers going on
I'm just saying, but like, in the NFL? I know that guy looks like a good leader to me. You know, work ethic, all that stuff, probably great on the board. But just because he doesn't relate well in an interview,
If you're a quarterback, you got to have the whole deal.
I understand that. But my point is, yeah, you kind of get
a feeling. It's like comparing a quarterback to a defensive lineman.
You kind of get a feeling of a kid when you spend a little bit of time around him, though. Maybe he is that way. I don't know. But to just throw that out there, you better have something on him. You better talk to some GM, and not just one, too.
This reminds me of the Cam Newton stuff when he was coming out years ago.
Here it is. More on this. Again, they were not impressed with his leadership skills or potential for the interview. And I know that later on, Charlie Casserly talked about the fact that he just appeared to have not prepared for any of the interviews. That he just seemed unprepared to answer questions in the interviews with the teams, which would be in line with what we've seen publicly. Completely unprepared to answer questions.
Okay, so to compare it to the Will Grier sound that we played the other day, you know, Coach and I, we watch a lot of what New England does. New England ran a lot of the stuff with wide splits. Once they cut it down and they got their splits down, they were able to get guys open underneath in more one-on-one situations, so the leverage was there. You got to get an understanding of what the offense is. Like, if you're Kyler Murray and you're going to Arizona, you should be probably talking about them, about Larry Fitzgerald. And what other type of offense? What are we going to run opposite Larry? How's our running game? Coach, are you going to incorporate all the stuff you did at, Texas Tech? I'm not really Patrick Mahomes, but I'm interested in, like, maybe that's part of it where you didn't dig deep into, what do you offer, Arizona? How's your defense, you know? Home games, like, do we sell out? You know, did you do any homework on the organization? Maybe that's it. Or just walk in, hey, how you doing? Oh, yeah. You guys are in Arizona, huh? Nice. It's nice there. Golf. Yeah. That sends up red flags. I did an interview with Jim Zorn. He was put off because I swore so much.
Really?
Went back and complained to Bobby Ross. Kid's got a mouth like a sailor. Yep, big Bible toter. One of those all shucks guys. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. No one told you that.
Lunch, you're out there having lunch, and you know, it's like me going out to lunch with you or Artie or Jim. You get what you get.
No, we let it fly.
Let it fly. Yes, sir. No, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. You know, yeah.
Oh, no. No, that's probably Bessie. You gave him the real you, though.
It's me, yeah.
Yeah, you're better off being authentic.
You're better off being you.
Yeah. I like me, you know? Like Kyrie, you know? Me.
617-779-0985. I just think it's interesting that this has come out about a top quarterback prospect.
It's good fodder.
And it's pretty damning stuff.
Yeah, it is.
And I wonder,
because I think there's a chance. I mean, really.
Here's what I wonder. I wonder if this somehow forces the Cardinals to trade Josh Rosen for more than what they were willing to take.
Or maybe they don't want to trade him now.
Because they're afraid of looking bad because they draft this guy so high and there will be a public perception that they may have made a mistake.
Oh, man. Could you,
does that mean that Josh Rosen for a third is now out the window, that they're going to hold out for better picks?
Could you imagine them pulling off two clunkers in a row at top 10 quarterbacks and they just missed on both?
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, but you got to do it. If you don't have a quarterback, you have to keep taking shots.
That's right. You have to keep taking shots. Keep drafting high. Because the first one you draft may not end up being the guy.
Last year, they took three shots. They took Sam Bradford, Mike Glennon, and Josh Rosen.
They got to go defense.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Can you put these on a CD for me? Music Boy. Bed Boy. I need a new boat playlist. A boat playlist to where you could play fun reggae music. Like
on a CD? How about a reel-to-reel?
No, CD.
Cassette tape.
How about a DAT? You want a digital audio tape? You want a DAT? Get a Denon DAT player on that boat?
He doesn't know what.
Remember the mini disc?
Mini disc? I can do a mini disc.
I have mini discs. I'll
put on a regular CD. That way you can use on your disc man.
Where do you find that stuff? Like that happy music? Yeah, it's good.
All right. Could you please?
Fresh region.
According to the New York Times, Robert Kraft has hired a new attorney to lead his defense effort.
Oh, a newer, he added him.
Oh, good.
I think he just added him, right?
Okay, yeah. He's new to the legal defense team.
Okay.
A new name in all of this.
Like when they brought in F. Lee Bailey for OJ. You know, he already had, Kardashian.
Poor Robert Kardashian.
Johnny Cochran. Who was the other guy? There was a third guy.
Oh, Dershowitz.
We watched that movie. Oh, well, they brought in Alan Dershowitz, too, but F. Lee Bailey. That was a big guy.
Cochran. Yeah, Bailey was the big one.
Ken Belson, New York Times, writes that a little more than a week after prosecutors in Florida charged Robert Kraft with soliciting prostitution, what ordinarily would be a minor case has become a legal battle involving some of the most expensive and sought-after lawyers in the country. To lead his defense, Mr. Kraft, a billionaire friend of President Trump.
That is so unnecessary.
New York Times line.
So unnecessary.
You keep doing you, New York Times. To lead his defense, Mr. Kraft, a billionaire friend of President Trump and one of the most powerful owners in the NFL, has retained William A. Burke, who was a lawyer in the George W. Bush White House and had a role in screening of documents related to Judge Brett Kavanaugh's recent Supreme Court nomination.
What do you think his retainer is? Wait a minute. So first we had Artie, what do you think you got a front for that? Hey, just one
first we had the Jeremy Epstein. What was his name? What's
Goldberger,
the Epstein
right?
guy's name?
Goldberger?
Jeffrey?
Not Jeremy. Jeffrey Epstein, lawyer. And now they've got someone related to the Kavanaugh?
Yeah, Brett Kavanaugh. He represented Brett Kavanaugh.
Oh, God.
Get out the big guns, buddy.
Not that this has anything to do with either of those two cases. But okay. Yes. So there's new people on the team, if you want to call it a team. So he's also hired Jack Goldberger. Yeah, that was the other attorney who had defended Jeffrey Epstein.
Florida, yep.
A wealthy New York financier accused of trafficking underage girls for sex. Mr. Goldberger and Mr. Burke did not return calls for comments, but they could mount an aggressive defense by poking holes in video evidence that may prove that Mr. Kraft did not ask anyone for sex, and by arguing that police violated Mr. Kraft's Fourth Amendment rights during an improper traffic stop, among other arguments. Let me just pose this question. I know that what happened last week was procedural in nature, as many people have told us, that we could not read into that as how this was going to play out.
I don't think this is procedural.
Hiring these two attorneys, though, Jack Goldberger and William Burke, that to me is not a procedural matter. That to me you can read into as to how this is being approached, which is fight it, fight it, fight it, take it to the wall. And that's what's going to happen.
That's what it feels like. Something turned, and maybe it's the traffic stop, and maybe there's more stuff that they found out that they might not have. I don't know. But I think there's something turned a week ago to where they're feeling pretty good about it.
I feel great about it. I think this is the right move. This is the right course of action. Absolutely.
Stop it.
Absolutely. Can't prove I asked for it. Went in. Something happened.
Thought I was getting my nails done.
Forked over some cash and left.
Thought it was a tanning bed.
Isn't this how the world works? I don't know.
So you keep hearing, too, the relationship part. Like, there's a relationship there.
Obviously. I mean, she loves him.
Yeah. All right. I hate talking about this.
Well, yeah, want to know why we are? Because now he's hiring...
Every time there's
high-powered lawyers,
every time somebody's
it.
Added or there's a motion or something is filed, that resurfaces. Yes, I'm with you. Yes.
Did nothing wrong. You know what? Most people feel you didn't do all that much wrong. Let's just say I made a mistake.
I agree.
Yeah, I made a mistake. It was wrong. Yeah. Okay.
I'll be out. People be like, hey, why are they doing this to him?
Doing what?
Yeah, he's just having a good time.
Do you think the charges will be dropped?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
If they poke enough holes.
I don't think they will. Not by prosecutors.
It's almost like they can't after the way they paraded it around.
There's a chance the case gets dismissed by a judge. I think you've got a 0% chance of prosecutors dropping the case. Because at this point, why not try the case?
If the prosecutors drop it.
All right, well, okay. We're going to take it. Fine. You want to take it to a trial? A bench drop. Sure, we'll do it. Whatever.
If the prosecutors drop it,
if you're in their spot, what's the worst thing that could happen to them? They lose in court and they say, hey, got billionaire with high-powered lawyers beat us in court. But we tried.
No, you can
They've
have
got no
the
shame.
Embarrassment of the botched investigation. If it was botched, in fact, and they prove that it was, like, there could be, if they're afraid that they're going to be exposed, that's why they wouldn't want to go to trial.
I don't think that they're afraid of that.
If they're clean and they did things by the book and everything was good, then yeah, go to trial. But if they're afraid of something that's going to get exposed by them going to trial.
Well, I mean, what could they possibly get exposed for?
I don't know.
So bad.
I don't know. That's just the way they paraded it around. Someone's,
if they say, oh, that you know, you got exposed, that traffic stop was illegal. You know what they're going to say? Well,
I think
you know
more
what?
Than that. I think
no,
it's
it had to
more
be
than a
traffic.
It's bigger than a traffic stop.
We're trying to take down a day spa where they were, you know, full of prostitutes. So, yeah, I guess you're right. I guess maybe that wasn't exactly by the book. Yeah, we did. We got stopped for that.
If they're asked that question in a trial,
you think the people in that neighborhood who live near the day spa are going to be upset that they had an illegal traffic stop for the guys going to the whorehouse in the neighborhood? I don't think they're going to care.
What if they?
I don't think the people in that neighborhood are really going to care.
They asked the leader of the investigation the question. You were afraid these women were being held. Why did you wait so long?
5 days they surveilled. Five.
But what if they knew about the women being held supposedly before that? Did they wait months? You don't know.
Again,
we don't know any of these details.
Again, you can't bang down. This is what I've said all along. You don't get to break down someone's door and take everyone out. That's not how it works. There's a process. There's a law.
You can expedite it a little bit. If something's really bad going on and this is so illegal, I don't think you have to wait months.
I'm with Jim. I think the police who found out about it and over the course of a few months investigated and tried to bring an end to it. They somehow were mistreating the victims in this.
How about
they didn't do enough?
It's so ridiculous. This other big time.
A backwards way of looking at this case.
You asked why they
might not want to go to trial. That's a possible reason why they might not want to go to trial.
What if they drop it? Well, how does Kraft look then? And it doesn't go to trial.
Like he did it. Is there any doubt in your
mind?
I'm answering your question. Is there any doubt in your mind that he went in there and paid to have that done? Is there any doubt in your mind?
They have him on tape giving the $100 bills.
Any doubt in your mind that he went in there and paid to have that done a couple of times within 24 hours? Any doubt that that's what happened?
I don't know what he paid for.
You're as bad as everyone else.
Where's the cost sign? It's like when you go to the Masters, you see those $2.50 pimento sandwiches and the egg salad. What's the cost on it?
Let me try it with Jim.
$100 sandwich?
Is there any doubt in your mind what happened?
No, there would be if it was one day. Okay. Day two seals it.
So there's no doubt. What did he do? Is that legal?
No.
Okay. Why are you fighting it?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know. Did it? It's dumb. I understand this is a serious problem in this country. I didn't think it's that big. A lot of people agree with him.
But bottom line, in black and white, he did.
That's why this is so ridiculous.
Not a big deal. Oh, God. Hype. And now a team.
I could see him fighting it because he was made example of. He was the example. The one guy that was pointed out in this whole thing.
Yeah. I held to a higher standard.
That's because you're a public figure.
Public figure. It's part of being a billionaire owner of the most successful sports franchise in history.
You're rolled up in a $400,000 car. To a strip mall. Nothing wrong with strip malls. Supposedly they have one of the highest rated little food sandwich stores right next to the Orchids of Asia Day Spa there. That's one of the top restaurants in Jupiter. Maybe get a little lunch.
You think it did it?
What do you think?
I'm asking you.
I'm asking you a question.
I'm asking you.
Yeah, I think something happened. Yeah.
Yeah. So
obviously it was on tape.
Why is he fighting?
He went back second day.
Why fight it?
I don't know.
I don't know
either. Maybe the other guy found something and they said, we got something here. And we need one more. We need a little more help.
To make this as painful and as embarrassing for everyone as possible. It's an odd thing to want, but that's what you're doing. Okay. Good. Continue down this course, by all means. Does he even want to pay the fine?
No, but that's how backwards this all becomes, which is why I can't stand talking about it, because it was the police that are contributing to the problem, not the people that were going in and flashing, Benjamins.
You see what happens?
It's the police. They didn't do enough. This investigation could have been botched. It took too much time.
Sure. See what happens when you talk about it? Boom. It took too much time. We haven't touched on it.
They are contributing to the problem by not acting fast enough. Not the guys going in there dropping hundreds of dollars. No. The police. They're the issue. How absurd does that sound?
Maybe you need change for a sandwich next door.
Come on.
So here's the question.
And this is why it's not worth talking about either.
Do we want to take this bank full of phone calls we have on it, or do we want to do mandated fun?
No, I want to do something fun. I don't want to keep talking about this. What, so every guy who's ever, been arrested for it or been to a law school class or, I don't know. Everyone can give you all their ways around it, all the technicalities. You can read into this, the news of the day. What do you think it means? I'd be interested in hearing people's opinion of that. What does that mean when you hire a high-powered attorney? Which way is this case going?
That's fun. We can do that.
That's talking about the actual item.
What do you think it's
not the legal technicalities of the case. And I'll tell you this. If it goes through with these two guys as his lawyers, he's going to win.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Can we have fun?
What is fun?
I demand that we have fun.
Let me spell it for you.
Okay.
Friends who do stuff together. U is for you and me. N is for anywhere and anytime at all.
Down here in the deep blue sea.
Mandated fun here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Thugger and Mash should do this.
They need it. You know, we have enough fun.
You know what they haven't done enough of lately? Like pop stuff, like pop culture. Their little quiz that they usually do. Just to see how hip they are with things and not just reading sports pages.
I like that bit. They haven't done
that bit. I love that
bit.
They haven't done it in a while.
That was a good bit.
They're and due. That was like truly mandated type of thing.
They are due,
they
man.
Just force themselves
right.
into things
and
that they otherwise didn't want to do. We could do... off-topic pop culture nonsense 4 hours
we did 4 straight hours of it.
It's just that our superiors would not be thrilled with that.
That may be more of
I think it might impact the ratings in some way.
I think it's entertaining.
Didn't you do something where you printed out pictures of people and asked if Felger and Maz could name them?
Yeah, we did that.
We're in a new building. They could do that again.
It actually started because of Dickman.
Oh,
Lee Dickman, former receptionist at 98.5 The Sports Hub. He didn't know who John Henry was when John Henry kicked in the door in 2011. 2011.
Not being aware.
He's like, I'm here to go on the radio.
And why would somebody who's not a sports fan know who John Henry was? I don't blame him for that.
I don't either.
Hi, I'm John Henry, owner of the Red Sox.
He didn't say that.
You should run downstairs.
No.
He said he came in and said, I'm here to go on the radio. And he said, which station? He really didn't know. He's like, what?
Dickman.
Excuse me, who walks into the lobby of a place with four stations?
The best was
this
the way.
I'm here to go on the radio.
Fast Freddy. From Mix retold that story. He's retelling the story. The guy walked in. He said, I'm here to go on Felger and Maz. And Lee said, well, I'm sorry, sir, but many people like to go on Felger and Maz. It's not that easy. He said, well, I don't think you understand. I'm John Henry.
And he's going to be Lee Dickman.
Thank you for. Yeah. All right. There you go.
Is that what he said?
No, I had it going, but Beetle couldn't. Yeah.
I want to get to this. We got 2 minutes now to do this.
Carry it over.
What?
To this story.
What, are we going
to
squeeze in sports?
Did you see that Uber came out with the Lost and Found Index?
I did not.
Lost and Found, the 10 most commonly forgotten items in an Uber.
Empty nip.
How many do you think you can guess? Because I couldn't guess them all because I think this list sucks.
I'll go with 5. I think I should be able to get 5.
Well, obviously, wallet and phone.
Wallet and phone are easy. And also a third, same theme.
Purse.
Empty nips.
Keys. Right?
Wallet, phone, keys.
Wallet, phone, keys are the three things you always
have. Purse, is that included?
It is. It is on the list.
Okay, so that's 4. Backpack. Is that included?
Person, backpack are listed as the same.
That's like
department.
A briefcase.
So number 1 is phone.
Okay.
Here's number 1 is phone. Number 3 is wallet. Number 4 is keys. Number 5 is purse/backpack. And then clothing is all one encompassing category. So that means shirts, jackets, hats, all that stuff is number 6.
Does that include gloves?
So you're missing, you're missing number 2, which I think is
vomit.
Remarkable.
Felger.
Suitcase?
No.
Child?
No.
Big baby?
Number two is something that I didn't think people used anymore as often as they did because they have it built into their phone now.
Diaphragm?
Ruler.
Sponge?
Camera. Compass.
Camera?
Nobody leaves a camera
like
in an Uber.
Who still has? I mean, I know that people have nice cameras, like large cameras.
Camera.
Professional type of
camera. Where cameras popular? Tourist attractions.
Tourist attractions.
Other countries.
People taking Ubers.
I guess that might could be it.
Okay. Japan.
People bringing their good camera.
Okay.
You know?
All right. So we still got like 3 or 4
All right.
More.
So phone, camera, wallet, keys, purse/backpack. Clothing is 6. You still got 4 more.
Food.
Food is not on the list.
Mm-hmm. Water bottles.
That would be food.
Glasses is number 7.
Sunglasses.
That makes sense.
Glasses.
All my shoes and all my glasses.
Umbrella.
And then there's 9 and 10.
I've left umbrellas.
Number 10 being identification or license.
That's in the
wallet. In your wallet.
Some people don't.
Hey, here I am. I'm sitting in an Uber. Oh, here's my license. Let me put on a seat next to me.
You can't sit there, little license. Are you comfortable, Mr. License?
I bet that includes like work IDs.
What about a baby, like Carlos?
Like a work ID that people have.
Like a badge.
Yep, a badge. Also, I would say like a passport. Can't put your passport in a wallet.
Yeah.
Right? If you carry your passport in your pocket.
All right.
Number nine is smoking related.
Cigarettes.
Vape pens.
Vape / e-cigarettes.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Now give us a hint for number 10.
Bong. Right. No, you have them. You have all 10. But they have released not just this as the top 10. They've given a full lost and found index of all the things that have been left, including the most unique lost items. And they've listed a bunch of things that people have left in their Ubers. 50 items, including an eight-week-old coffee-colored chihuahua.
I was going to say a pet.
Someone left a chihuahua.
How old?
An eight-week-old chihuahua.
Oh, brand new.
That's going to be the size of a rat.
Yeah, but if they go home at 8 weeks, I think, most puppies. So you're brand new. It's like, you know, I forgot I had a dog. I've only had him for 15 minutes.
This is the other part that I thought was funny. They listed the items that peak on certain days. So the most forgotten item on a Monday, watches. People are most likely to forget their watch in an Uber on a Monday.
Oh, hold on. I just got in my car.
I get into the Uber. I'm like, oh.
Here, put my watch over there next to me.
People are most likely.
Thank God.
You stay there, you watch.
People are
and
most
I want
likely
you to watch for traffic.
To forget their headphones on Tuesday. They're most likely to forget.
Oh, this is all BS.
They're most likely to forget their laptops on Wednesday.
This list pisses me off.
I don't believe this.
They're most likely to forget books in the Uber on Thursday.
Stupid.
Most likely to forget passports.
No.
On Fridays,
no.
People go in places for the weekend.
Okay, all right. That one might make sense. The rest of
this one, I'll tell you, Saturday makes the most sense in the entire week. People are most likely to forget their phones on Saturday because they ham it in the Uber, and that's where the phone is left. Saturday nights in an Uber, I'm sure they have all kinds of phones that end up left in the Ubers.
Right.
And Sunday, this is, I don't even understand why this would make the list.
Bibles.
People are most likely to forget cakes in their Uber on Sunday. Full-size cakes. Like they're going to a birthday party or, anniversary
pie?
Or anything else.
I think Pie Day's coming up, right?
Yeah.
When is that?
March 14th.
March 14th.
314. Always. Yeah, 314. Yeah, pie. Eat some pie that day.
All right.
You know, having fun?
A cake? Who would leave a cake in a car? It's like the one thing you carry, right?
It's your favorite pie.
You're going somewhere. You're going to carry the cake to go to a place. Yeah. You're going to get out where you're supposed to bring the cake. You're going to leave the cake. It makes no sense.
Favorite pie.
This list is bad.
I don't feel like we did a good job with mandated fun today. We all feel more angry about
it. I think
this.
You did the wrong list because it's a stupid list.
I got angry with the days where you leave stuff. That's nonsense.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Except for the phone on Saturday.
You know what that is? It's Uber saying, hey, talk about us. Talk about Uber like we're doing and give us more attention and clicks.
What's your favorite pie?
Oh, apple from the Big Apple. It's about that thick.
Oh.
About 4 inches thick.
All right.
That sounds fun.
Thanks, good, man. Try it someday. Get it for Thanksgiving next year.
All right. That's it for fun. Da-da-da-ba-ba.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help. LineMA.org.